welcome everybody to another amazing episode of the XSF podcast. You got your host here, Devontae, and let's give a quick shout out to our sponsors. And quick reminder, everything you need mentioned here is going to be found right down in the show notes under the podcast sponsor section. First and foremost, we got Third Layer Skate Park and Skate Shop. Third Layer Skate Park and Skate Shop has been around since 1997, and they have absolutely been doing everything around here to the skate community to make it a better skate community. They've always been providing amazing, amazing help and just giving back. They're absolutely amazing. They got everything from their own boards to boards from real skateboards all the way to welcome. You can get anything you really want off their website, so go check them out. Links are down in the bio. Next, we got Monte Coso Skateboards. If you're watching on YouTube, I got one hung up right behind me, the OG deck. Monte Coso Skateboards is another Minnesota owned and operated business. And just like Third Layer, they're all about just giving back to the skate community, really being out there with the kids and just seeing people do what we love to see people do, skateboard. Hey Lou, let them know what's up.
We got Jetty Woodwork out in Long Beach, Long Island, giving you the best woodwork you got going, veteran owned and operated. We got Batch Roasting Co. Coffee, because, you know, we got to get caffeinated up when we go skate it out. They're an amazing place out in Brooklyn, doing amazing things, amazing people.
Check you got a out discount for code for them at for Batch?
Batch Roasting Co. discount code LBOMB at checkout for 15% off. That's LBOMB.
Boom. There you go, everybody. Well, that's all we got for you. Hope you enjoy. We got our man, Jake Hayes, here with us today. I mean, this is absolutely amazing. I think it really does deserve a round of applause. Yes. Okay. This man, if you don't skateboard, go on YouTube, type in Jake Hayes. I'm going to be showing you some clips today of him. And if you do skateboard, I'm sure you know who he is. Jake, could you introduce yourself real quick for us? Just kind of tell us who you are, where you're from, and how you got into skateboarding.
For sure. Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. I'm stoked to be here. Well, my name's Jake. I'm from Sydney, Australia originally, and I started skateboarding when I was about 6, I'd say. So that's 23 years now. So yeah, quite a lot of time dedicated to this shit. Yeah. So yeah.
Yeah, it's a grind. It's definitely a grind, but it's worth it, right?
Definitely. Yeah, it's tough, but it's definitely worth it physically and mentally in the end. It can put you in a really good spirit, you know?
Mm-hmm. I actually have some questions regarding that later on. I'm going to ask you about when you said the whole mental side of things, because I think that's one of the biggest things that I've learned through skating myself. And
for sure.
Yeah. So you're from Australia originally, correct? Mm-hmm. And when did you end up moving over here then?
So I moved over here, I think it was about 5 years ago. It was around the time that I'd just gotten on Death Wish, and everything was kind of then starting to like take off for me, so it seemed like the best time for me to move from Australia, because I just won Skater of the Year in Australia too. I think that was in 2016.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask you. I was going to say, you did win Skater of the Year over there, right? Yeah, okay.
And that was kind of like what helped me build up my name a little more, I guess, to come over here and be like, have my foot in the door and all that sort of thing.
That's sick. So it was a kind of like a catalyst for you to be like, all right, let's get it cracking. Let's do it now.
For sure. Cause I mean, when you win Skater of the Year in Australia, it's kind of like essentially like the highest achievement you can reach in Australia, you know? Okay. So after that, the only next like natural progression is to like move to America and I don't know, see what you can do over here, you know?
Is that like what like previous Skaters of the Year from over there have done then? Like, has that normal?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it started with Cale Nusk. I don't know if you remember him. He's an older Australian skater.
Yeah, I was going to say older, right? Yeah.
Yeah, he rode for Cliché. He was, I think he might have even been the first Australian Skater of the Year. But starting from him, you know, like he came over here and lived in America. Then like Chima, Dustin, Dane, like a lot of people eventually moved over here and did that. So it kind of just seemed like the right like footsteps to go in, you know?
No, that's awesome. I think it's pretty cool to see how skateboarding's been able to lay out a path for people like yourself. Mm-hmm. And you know that, you know, I have a friend. Have you ever heard of Tanner Van Vark?
Yeah, for sure.
I grew up with him. He's like one of my best friends.
Oh, and, sick.
And just like seeing the path he followed, like with Third Layer Skate Park that we go to here and stuff, mm-hmm. and You know, it's pretty cool what the skateboarding community can do if you just, you know, kind of accept it for what it is and just have a good
time. For sure. So exactly. Awesome. And yeah, if you find your like right crew of friends who want to like, you know, help you and uplift your skating and like see you excel and stuff, it's like, it really does help as well.
Yeah. And did you have a pretty heavy crew then over in Australia as well, like while you're skating or?
I mean, yeah, I have all like my homies and stuff who have always been like better than me, you know? And so it's like, you surround yourself with people who are better than you, you're only going to like improve, you know? And then like, you know who Dane Berman is, right?
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah. So he was like a childhood friend of mine. I grew up with him essentially from when I was about 13. We skated with all the same people. And then like, cause he was sober, I kind of took that same approach too.
That's awesome. So you said you are sober then?
I mean, essentially, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't really drink. I don't really drink or anything. So
do you smoke weed?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Yeah. We talk about it all the time on here.
For sure.
Yeah. No. Okay, cool. That's awesome, man. I actually was just watching the thing you do at Transworld. You're showing all the amazing skateboards you have, the amazing skateboard collection. I want to talk about that really quick.
For sure.
You brought up Dane, and I saw the board you had and all that. And so when it comes to all those boards, have you just been accumulating those like since you were six, kind of like since you started skating, or when did that all start for you? Because I'm gonna post it in the show notes for people if they haven't seen the video. Yeah. But your board collection it's off the charts. It's awesome.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. So it actually started maybe I'd say 3 years ago, I'd say. And it's like me collecting boards that I've wanted when I was a kid that I wasn't able to get, you know? So it's like some of the Andrew Reynolds Birdhouse boards that came out, and it's like, they're a little too expensive or whatever. And I just never ended up getting it. Now it's kind of like reliving that nostalgia and being like, okay, I can get that board. It's maybe a little more expensive, but I'll have that board. And then when I have my own house one day, I'll be able to put up these boards, and it's like kind of like art, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So, I love that. And I'm trying to, I mean, I got a little bit going on in the background.
For sure,
here.
I like that.
Trying to get a little going. But it's I just love the fact that, I mean, you started it 3 years ago and it's that big. And obviously, this has been something on your mind for years because you said you brought it back to childhood. So that's
definitely
awesome.
And it's like, it comes back to like watching old videos and shit too, you know, where like you see like a graphic, like a glimpse of a graphic, and it's like, oh shit, I know exactly what that graphic is. And then you find one, and it's like the hunt is almost the best part, where you're like, okay, I've got to find this graphic. It's so hard to find, you know?
Yeah. And you know, it's crazy that you say that. I was just talking to somebody. So like dopamine, one of the good hormones we get, the feel good.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So like when you're doing something like that, it's you're getting a dopamine hit from that hard work. And I think that same thing comes from skating. And it's just funny you say that, because you enjoy that process almost more than getting the board. And I noticed that a lot in the skateboarders, that I don't know if it's something we just got through skating, because you enjoy that process of learning a trick and then you land, it's like, cool, I can enjoy this, but like, what's next, you know?
Exactly. So, yeah, for sure. And it's kind of the same feeling, definitely, because, you know, I've spent like a grip of money on these boards, you know, they're not cheap. Yeah. And so, but like, they're all just sitting under my bed in boxes. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I should have them all out. I mean, granted, there's like 200 of them under my bed, but like, so they're obviously not all gonna go on the wall.
yeah,
exactly.
That'd be hefty.
So it's like, but yeah, I don't know, it's almost like the thrill, like, okay, I actually have this in my possession now, I can just like not even worry about it anymore.
Yeah, that's cool. And I really liked that in that video you were doing too, not even just the boards, but you know, you have some pictures of just like Reynolds and all this stuff that you know, kicks it back to old school. And how you said, like, everybody who stayed at the house, you have something from them. That's
for sure.
That's something I haven't heard of, and I think that's really cool that you started that, because that's just building a awesome just plethora of stuff you'll have from all these amazing people. So
man, for sure, and like, so great. 9 times out of 10 there were people that like I looked up to as well. So it's like it means even more, you know? And so like all the photos and everything, it's like that's from the era of skateboarding that I really like the most. And so that's just where I hold it, you know? And then so when those people come through and they're like cool and they leave us something or whatever, it's like, I don't know, it's sick. It just adds a little more like sentimental value to it.
Yes, it does. It's funny too, because I think, because how old are you again, Jake?
29,
right? So Baker 3, all that stuff you grew up with. And I think it's it's awesome that, you know, you went that route, even like as you came here, you know, getting on Death Wish and all that.
For sure.
Following that team, I think that's pretty, was that something you had like insight from watching like that type of stuff when you were younger, or was it just something that kind of like naturally happened to be?
I mean, when I was younger, it was always like, yeah, sick, it'd be dope to ride for Baker, but you know, like
every kid has that too.
Of course, yeah, but there's no way like I could have hung with the dudes who rode for Baker back then. Like, imagine me going on, I couldn't imagine myself going on a trip with fucking Reynolds, Ellington, Greco, when they're all like in the middle of their like heyday of being like wasted and shit, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't imagine what those, like, I wouldn't be able to hang. There's no way.
No, not at all.
And so the dream of riding for Baker kind of ended there always. It was always just like, well, that'll never happen. I'll just admire from afar. It's my favorite company, my favorite skaters, whatever. That's like how it's just always going to be. Yeah. And then, you know, it seems like skating kind of shifted from being like, I don't know, wastoids, I guess,
party animals.
Exactly. Now people are going to the Olympics and stuff. And so like the whole vibe of going on a skate trip changed. There's not like, there's not as much, focus on going out and partying and stuff like that. Everyone's hungry for clips, you know. It's not so much like that anymore. And so like it's the same with like Death Wish and Baker. It's changed where like the people on the team want to go skate. They don't care about going and partying, you know. So it got to a point where it was like achievable to where like maybe I could hang with the people who are on the team and like I could just skate and like that's it. That's good enough, you know. And so I don't know. Yeah. Like just ended up getting to a time where I asked Dustin in Australia that like, can I skate, just ride Baker boards while I'm in Australia, you know? And he's like, yeah, sweet. And then it all kind of just happened from there.
That's sick, man. That's amazing.
Yeah. I'm stoked.
Yeah, dude. I mean, that's just super cool. Just the journey that took for you, just, you know, like letting it sit back and accepting like, okay, like that's not my scene. I think, how old are you when you kind of decided that, would you say?
I mean, it really came down to one of my friends. Like, it's like something that my friend said. He told me one time, he's like, what's the company you would ride for if you could, you know, the age old question. And I was like, Baker. And he's like, you really think you can hang in the van with the Baker dudes, like doing what they do. And I was just like, fuck, you're right. That's like a harsh realization, you know, like there's no way I could.
I applaud you for that though. Like, even just cause it seems like some people could like their dreams would overtake like what they know themselves can actually like do,
sure.
And they would just ride with it and try anyways.
Yeah, for sure. I mean,
much respect for you for that, man. That's crazy.
Thanks. I appreciate that. I feel like that comes back down to hanging out with Dane at such a young age where he was so like gung-ho about like not drinking and smoking and doing all that shit, where he kind of like nailed that into my head and pleasing him and like, not pleasing him, but like, I guess him appreciating me and like wanting to be my friend and stuff and like help me through skating was more important than like trying to show off and get wasted and do like dumb shit to like impress people, you know?
That's amazing. It sounds like he was a huge, huge factor in like,
for sure, like
continuing what you did. Yeah. No, that's awesome.
Yeah. He like, I don't know. He's done a lot for me throughout my like skating career, you know, like definitely owe a lot to him for sure.
Yeah. Hey, that's awesome. And I love that you said like the shift happened, because I noticed it too, like in skating itself. And I mean, that's why I do what I do with extreme strength and fitness now, because it's like,
for sure,
as a business as a whole, we want to show everybody they're capable of being extreme, because that's just something I realized through extreme sports, you know, like watching skateboarding, snowboarding, being a skateboarder, snowboarder my whole life, all this other stuff. And you know, also looking at, you know, I was in the army for a little bit, and then watching my mom be a single mom my whole life. And I started to realize like there's more to it, and everybody is capable, like everybody is extreme. They just have to see how they are themselves. So that's
for sure
a catalyst to it. But for me as a coach, I want to be the dude that really is pushing it out there now that everybody is taking that shift. And, you know, when you go on the skate trips, there should be a coach. Like, somebody should have a coach with them going with. Like, that's
for sure
hopefully where stuff can go, you know, keeping everybody healthy. Because, I mean, like you said, everybody's hungry for clips right now, because skateboarding just keeps progressing like crazy year to year. It's insane. Like, just video part to video part, it just gets crazier.
Definitely. Yeah. It's like, and it's not slowing down anytime soon. And it's like, imagine being out on a mission, like going on a trip, and then after a hard day, like having like a coach being like, all right, this is what you need to do. You need to like, you know, foam roll for this long, fucking jump in the ice bath, bloody, like, I don't know, do whatever, you know,
stretches. Yeah. Some mobility stuff, whatever. And
exactly. Like,
just having that, it's like in your back pocket too. It's just, I see it happening. I see it happening.
For sure, yeah.
Speaking on that, I want to ask you, because like one thing I think about training, and everybody always asks me when it comes to like when skateboarding and being the coach or whatever, how do you increase your pop? Right? Uh-huh. I'm sure you knew this was coming because this man is known as the king of ollies, 2020, whatever you want to say. I have some clips I'm going to be showing in the background demonstrating this dude's popping ability. But tell me, how did you just practice it a lot? Because I myself, out of my crew, seem to have like the most like wanting to go over big stuff or up big stuff, like stairs and stuff like that. So the pop is there. I'm just wondering how you ended up doing it. Like, was it just practice? Like every trick you do, like that tray flip, even is just pop. So I'm just wondering, like, how did you do that?
See, I don't know. It just seemed like a natural progression, you know. It was never really like something where I was never like super tall or anything when I was younger. So it's like never like I had this like, I'd say on the border between like 6'2", 6'3".
Oh, really? God, you look a lot taller too in video for sure.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm definitely tall, you know, but like when I was younger, I wasn't on the like taller side. I was small and like, you know, I wasn't known for like having pop or anything when I was younger, but I don't know. It just seemed like that's just where it migrated to. I just started like, I just like skating out of kickers, you know, like out of a bump.
That's what I was going to ask you. Like, did it just like all of a sudden you just started skating over stuff? You're like, oh, how high can I go? And then just like from there.
Yeah. Well, like, I mean, I guess initially it started like being at the skate park really young and like launching out of quarter pipes.
Exactly. That was the funnest thing.
For real. And just like to the flat, you know, flat bottom or the flat ground on the top, you know, the deck.
Yep.
Yeah. And it's like, that shit was cool. Obviously not ollieing, but
launching.
Yeah. But still, I don't know that height. I don't know if that translates to anything to do with like wanting to skate over bump to bars or anything like that. But I don't know. I just found that that's what I migrated to and like just found that that's what worked for me. And I don't know, just I slowly increased from skating over small stuff to like bigger and bigger, you know, it's like, and that's how you work with, that's how you work with every trick too. So it's like, start low and build it up.
Yeah. I think that's just super cool. Cause I mean, I think you can see it too in a lot of skaters. Like if you know somebody from a younger age when they're skating and you just kind of watch them, like you can almost see almost like how they're going to skate in the future, unless they just go and change their whole style up and stuff. But usually like, you know, you kind of catch your groove at some point and you're either going to be that technical skater or you're going to be, you know, just ollieing big stuff and doing big
jumps. For sure. Yeah. So I don't know. Yeah. It just seemed like it was the route that happened, and so that's just what I don't know, it's just what happened. I don't that's really cool. have like an explanation. I don't really like have anything for it. It just
happened.
Yeah,
that's so I love that though, because I always tell people that too, and they come to me with that question. So I'm like, well, yes, there's stuff you can do in the gym to increase your pop, don't get me wrong, but the best thing you can do, honestly, is going to be get on your board and just practice ollieing higher. Like it's just it's specificity at that point. Like I only can do so much in the gym to get you stronger and more powerful, yes, which will have translation. But if you do that but don't really focus on the ollie, I mean, how far can you really go? So it's funny.
Exactly.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I get asked that question a lot, you know, like how do you like pop so high or whatever? And it's like, I could tell someone going to the gym is going to help or whatever, because it is, you know, it is going to help. But I feel like then I'd be leading them astray because that's not something that I do. I don't go to the gym, so...
That's why I asked, because it was like, that's why I want people to know, like, yes, you can definitely do it without going to the gym. Cause it's like, that's
for sure,
where
yeah.
the specificity of skating comes in. Cause I have this conversation with people all the time where I have such a respect for skateboarding as a sport due to the fact of the skill level to strength level, because it's really weird. Cause the skill level is very, very high, but the strength level seems to be, you know, I don't want to say low, because for some things you have to be very strong, especially for landing some of the stuff that you do, you know, all that stuff that takes
But
when it comes to like football or something like that, right, you know, skill is pretty low.
Based on strength.
Yeah, strength is up there. So it's cool how with skateboarding, I mean, the best way you're going to get better at it is by skateboarding. Like that's
exactly
the bottom line.
I mean, no one's going up to anyone and being like, oh my God, that guy's such a strong skater.
Exactly.
You know, it's like
no one cares about that.
Yeah, it's like, oh, he must be really strong because he can move that like eight inch skateboard around or 8.5 inch skateboard around. You know, like no one's really like thinking that. It's not really based on that. It's definitely based more on like the, like you said, like the skill and the technique of what you're doing, spending more time on your skateboard. Because like, I don't know, I feel like maybe it's just like, maybe for me, it just comes down to timing or like the technique of the way I do my tricks is what works for me. And that's how it works, you know? So it's like the way I bend my legs, everyone's different, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, and that's what's nice about like a coach. If you can get yourself a coach, is like somebody like myself, that's where, you know, the gym would benefit. Cause then it's like, okay, I can
exactly
work with your body type. I can work with your angles mm-hmm. you have and show you like, how can we use this to the best of your abilities? And then how can we build upon it? You know,
it's like, real quick,
that kickflip is actually what put me on to you. Funny enough, like, so I knew who you were, but then I saw that clip. Was that in the Numerica video or was that the, I can't remember. That, it was this one.
This one right here. Yeah. That one's in, Uncrossed, the Deathwish video.
Yes. There we go. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah.
That one, when I was just like, oh my God, dude, just the pop you had like that. I don't know. It's just something about it was so fascinating because it popped right up to your feet. Like, this is so bomb.
What's funny is that I actually did that 3 times in a row and, luckily the fisheye version isn't showing because, it looks horrible fisheye. Like the way I did it is horrible, but luckily, my homie who filmed it from front on, it made it look good somehow.
That's funny you said that, because I used that angle too, just because of like, not because of that, but the aspect of just looking at the drop and stuff. But
yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah, the other angle's bad.
How is that with skating too? Because like, I'm just more recently getting into, you know, filming with street skating and stuff, because I was going with the homies all the time with Third Layer and stuff and all that, but I was kind of a kid. I just talked about in a recent episode where I got kind of comfortable like with where I was at and like just smoking weed, chilling, not really trying stuff or whatever, and just watching the homie skate.
Yeah.
So now I have like this different drive. You know, I had surgery on my ankle, but once I'm back to it, like I have this just different look at mm-hmm. things. I'm looking at tricks different, I'm looking at spots differently. Like, I'm coming. Like it's coming.
For sure.
But yeah. On that note, you know, when it comes to filming and stuff, does that psych you out? Like, do you see when you have a filmer on you or following you, or if you know you've been trying something for a while, do you get kind of just some psychological things going on? Like, oh, I wish I could just land this for them. Like, I feel bad. Like, how are you feeling those moments?
I mean, see, I can be like a freak when I skate sometimes, you know, like I could get to a spot and like freak out in 3 minutes, or I could freak out in 3 hours. I don't know. Like most of the time it's in 3 minutes, but I don't like
under a lot of pressure.
It's pressure that I put on myself, but I try too hard and try not too hard to like put the pressure on myself and that I'm wasting the filmer's time, because hopefully the person who's filming me is getting paid to do what they do.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So it's like they're getting paid, and it's like, that's no justification for being like a torture to them. You know, like I never want to like torture a filmer with anything, but, I don't know, like I do my best to like, I don't know, make sure the film is all good and like that the filmer is like just as much in the day as I am, you know, like the relationship between the skater and the filmer, there's no difference, you know, like I don't feel that like skaters are better than filmers so that skaters' time is more important or anything like that. I feel like the filmer is just as important, if not more important.
Because I was just going to say that myself, because like I know every time I'm skating, not to cut you off, but I just know every time I'm skating, it's like, I always have that feeling of, I want to land this because I want to do it for like the filmer's sake. Cause it's like, I see
him exactly
beamed on by the sun, sweating. Like, I know I'm out here trying, but at least I'm preoccupied. Like this man's just
for sure.
All right.
Let's go. And like,
you know, it's like, oh,
I feel like it can be hard for a filmer to stay motivated too during that. You know, you got the fucking skater over there freaking out. And then you're like, the filmer's just there. Got to be like, you got it, man. Like you got this shit. Like don't stress. But like, and then with all the other factors,
and it's like they're already like, damn, man, it's
taking a little like hurry up the back and fucking of their do head. This shit. Yeah, for sure. And it's like, I don't know, it's like, but I mean, I feel like that all comes down to the relationship you have with the filmer, because hopefully you're not filming with someone who's a random and like it's a little more awkward or something, you know? Yeah, and it's like the people I try to film with know how I am and know how I work, and then vice versa, you know, I know the way they work, and it's like it just works correctly, you know, and that's how I feel like the best footage is produced.
I was just going to say, when it seems to be like that crew of people that you're just already comfortable about like being around, which seems to be the case for, I mean, most pro teams, it seems like it just kind of is like, all right, this is a natural thing. I think it is kind of weird though, for just looking from like my perspective, from just like a hometown thing, like people trying to skate, you know, just get out there and skate. Like, whether you're going to get filmed or not, because that was one of my problems, was like, I would get salty because, like, I would try something and I wouldn't get filmed or whatever. It's like, just go skate. Just go have fun, because it's like, that's,
for sure,
like you said, when the best things are going to come about, whether it's a clip or not, like, that's just when the best stuff happens.
But that's the hard thing these days. See, I'm lucky enough that I grew up skating in the time where, like, the Instagram and everything wasn't even, there was no such thing as Instagram. So
I'm super happy you brought that up.
Yeah, you're like not worried about being filmed all the time. It's just, okay, I'm going out today and I'm gonna learn new tricks and progress. I don't care if no one sees them. I'm just gonna do this. And then, come like
it wasn't
Instagram
for any validation
shit.
Other than your own at that point. Like
that's,
it was
yeah,
just
that's
I
right.
Learn this.
Or the homie that you're out skating with, you know. And it's
exactly,
like
exactly yeah.
And then, but now it's like you got to feed this content machine, and it's like you just have to keep going with it. And like
I struggle with that sometimes.
Me too, but like I understand it, you know, like I understand this thing that we have to feed into and why, but it definitely becomes like torturous at some point.
Yeah, I never really thought about it like that, because yeah, I mean, growing up skating was, I would put in a 411 DVD, I would watch a 411 DVD, and I would grab my skateboard and I would cruise down the block to the church and I would skate the parking
for
lot.
For sure.
You know, that was
for real.
That was it. And best I feeling. Remember when Instagram first came out, like I still I'm not one who sits on, I try not to sit on there and stuff. And even when I was little, like when all the homies were kind of getting into it, I was always just like, I'm just trying to skate, bro. Like I'm good.
For sure.
Like, you can film it if you want, but I can definitely see the pressure behind it for, you know, younger kids coming up, you know, trying to just prove something. But that's the thing too, is like, don't do it for that. Like, just do it for yourself. And
for
like
sure.
Said, there's a rhyme or reason behind it. I do understand it. But this is a fine line, I feel like.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I see it from the point of view where, like, companies want their team riders to sell their products. And that's
exactly.
Obviously,
or like my
a great...
business and stuff. Like, it's just, you know, it's
exactly.
there for a reason.
For sure. And it's an amazing tool. I probably wouldn't be as...
we wouldn't be talking.
Yeah, exactly. I wouldn't be as, you know, well into the skating stuff. Game. I wouldn't be as, like, well in the skating game if I didn't have Instagram. You know, and then that started from, like, you know, when I was like 16 or something. So it's like, it really does help. But like I said, it's a lot of content to have to feed at a constant time. You know, if you don't put something on there every day, you lose followers. It's like, you know, and it's like, I'm not putting shit up for validation, put shit up because it's like
show
a
your
nice,
hair still. It's
like, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Like I'm still
and
doing
it's also,
this like just for fun.
For sure. And it's also like a nice little log of like, tricks. Like I went through my Instagram the other day and I was like, holy shit, I've done like a switch heel back 5-0. Like I've never even didn't even think I've even
done
that.
I was just
but...
gonna say that, like, it's kind of you just kind of have to shift your like perception around it, because if you can look at it
for
like
sure.
that, like a bank for you to just utilize for yourself, like, okay,
exactly,
how did I do here? Oh dang, look at this trick, I did it way better this time than I did 2 weeks
yeah,
ago.
Yeah, yeah. Or like, oh, I can do those, I might just go try and film one in the streets, I've done one before. Boom. Yeah,
exactly.
So,
yeah,
so it's like it helps in that way. It's like a good little archive, you know.
Yeah, I love that you said that. That was a perfect way to just lead off on that, because that's exactly how I'd recommend anybody use it if you're skating. Like, yeah,
for
post
sure.
every day, but post for the fact of posting your skating, posting your progressions, and watch that yourself, you know?
Exactly. Like, go back from, like, day one and be like, oh, shit, yes. Like, I couldn't even ollie. I then go to day fucking however long, and it's like, cool, I can board slide a flat bar now, you know?
Yeah,
like,
look at that.
I've progressed that
yeah.
far.
It's
so.
Crazy. That's awesome. I love that, man. And I want to talk about real quick, falling for you. I have a falling clip and I'm sorry to do this to you. Probably really hurt.
Oh,
this is from your Trans World video with Frankie.
Oh yeah, the back five.
This was dude. Okay, you already knew what it was. This was a little blown on the TV, but oh my goodness, dude.
Yeah.
How was that? I can kind of see what happened. Looks like the pop just didn't work in your favor and just caught up.
Yeah, that bump, it's got like a big bump to it. And it's
like at the front of it. Okay.
Yeah, it's like a big like ski jump to like this flat bar.
Oh, okay.
But the thing is, the bump sends you way higher and way further than what you need to go. So it
and
would send
you
like
pop too. It's like
so it's like I have to like you kind of have to like downgrade it a little bit, you know. And so I did that, missed the pop, but still put my foot on the rail and just I don't know straight to my hip and my elbow.
Yeah. Did you get injured at all from that or?
I mean, it was just like I actually had like a wart on my elbow at the time, and it took that off my elbow, and then which I was actually pretty stoked on. But then my hip was just like, I don't know, like a Charlie horse, you know, it was dusted.
Big, just dusted off, just super, super bruised probably.
Yeah, I mean, I got up and like walked it off and shit and like was fine for the rest of the day and all that, drove home and everything, but like was definitely chilling for a little bit afterwards.
What is, because I know what goes through my head, you know, in those moments. And when you've been skating for so long, I think you just pick up on it. And it's funny because I heard Jimmy Foy talking about this on his most recent Nine Club he was on. And he was talking about aerial awareness, you know, and when you're falling, you know, you're just like, oh, but there's those times like this where it's like there's no catching yourself. You're going. In that moment, did you have that saying in your head like, fuck, all right, it's coming. Like, I've had that before. So I'm wondering if you've had that with this.
Well, the thing is, that spot, I've seen, I think, two people before me get rocked on that spot. And there's, like, footage of similar things happening to people, you know? And so I was like, okay, cool. I'm going into the situation knowing what the outcome could be, you know? Like, I'm ready for that shit to happen. But when it actually did happen, like, it was so quick. The only thing I remember thinking about was, like, am I broken? Like, when I hit the ground, I didn't know if I was, like, broken somewhere.
Like, I got up hard. Like,
yeah, and I like got up quick because I'm like, can I walk? Like, I don't know what the fuck even just happened. Like, it was so fast.
Yeah, see, that's what I was gonna say, because there's those moments where it slows down and there's all of a sudden you're just on the ground too the next
for sure.
What the heck, dude? Like,
for sure. Yeah, it's like, it can be bad, but like, I mean, got away pretty good for something like that happening, you know. Imagine like a normal person that doesn't skate that happening to them.
You'd be blown. They're hip. That's what I was gonna say, dude. That's why I asked you if you got injured, because you know, if I took, you know, Grandma Sue off the street and she fell off of something that high like that, she'd be broken.
For sure.
You know?
Yeah.
And it could be detrimental probably to her. But, you know, with skateboarding, I know, we're younger than a grandma, but it still has validation to go. I mean, if you took somebody my age and did that to them that didn't skate, I'm
exactly,
sure they're not
going
to handle it as well. So it's
for sure.
It shows the resiliency we have from, you know, falling and all that stuff. And it, people always ask me like, oh, do you train for falling, stuff like that? It's like, dude, no, you just got to go out there and fall. Like,
exactly. Yeah. It's going to happen.
Like, you just
and it's like every time you mess up a trick, the fall can potentially be different every time. So you can't train for that.
Have you ever had one of those things where like, I've had this happen like more recently before I got hurt. I was just messing around this little circle bar and it was like warm up time. I was just going to do a 50-50 and it was like one of those lock-ins where like, vroom, and you just slip out and just stomach the rail. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, okay. Let's not do that again. Next try, just do the opposite thing and just heel out. And I was just like, dude, I'm good. I'm gone. I was like, I'm done for the day.
Overcompensating for sure.
Yeah. It's funny. I don't know. It's just skateboarding. I love it to the fact of it's not the same every day. No matter how you look at it, no matter how you skate, it's never going to be the same day in and day out. Like, you could go to football practice and yes, it's going to be different. Don't get me wrong. Or you can go to hockey practice. It's going to be a little bit different. Don't get me wrong. But you know, the games, all this stuff, it seems to be in a pretty particular order. I'm not saying that doesn't take skill. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that, but just with skating, I think that's why I gravitated toward it, because it was something different every day, but it was something
for sure
that I was also familiar with, you know, it was like this comfortable feeling, but then you get on it and there's also times of like being very uncomfortable. And I think that's probably helped a lot of us skaters push ourselves to where we are today, you know, just getting in more uncomfortable situations. Cause I'm sure, you know, getting on Death Wish was kind of weird and just starting off like getting on a team and just an
definitely
thing, but you did it.
I feel like you just moved to a new school, like sort of thing, you know, like, oh, new guy at school. Like, I don't know, but yeah, it's like definitely, yeah, that's the thing. You go out today, do a kickflip and it could be the best kickflip in the world. And then you go out tomorrow and it's the shittest kickflip and you just fully airball it. You know, it's like
just rocket it and it's just going all over the place. And
yeah. And it's like, if someone was watching you on both those days, they'd be like, wait, what? Like, what the hell is going on with this kid? You know, but that's just the way skating is. You can't be the best of the best all the time. And you can't, I don't know. It doesn't always work out the same, you know?
That's the part I love though, is because once you can accept that, it's such a freeing feeling, because it's like, all right, I can suck today, whatever, tomorrow's another day. Like,
for sure. See,
it's like, I mean, I do get mad at times, don't get me wrong. there's times where I get there, I'm like, I should be able to fucking skate better than this, but you know,
for sure,
I'm pretty sure it happens to everybody, but
I'm the same too. But it's like, that's something I'm like, I've come to learn like as I got older, is like just appreciating the fact that if you're out skating, that's good. Don't even worry if it's a shit day, whatever, because at least you're out skating, you know?
Yeah, exactly. At least you can use your body in that way, still do the things you're doing. And that's like this ankle surgery for me, because I've had plenty of injuries growing up. Like I had a vitamin D deficiency when I was younger. Didn't know until I was like 15. I had already been skating for a couple of years at this point. So I've broken both my wrists, cracked a vertebrae in my neck, broken a knee, all this stuff. Yeah. And it wasn't until later to like I started getting better at that and getting stronger bones. But you know, when it comes to just the consistency of skating and getting back to it, I'm just wondering, because I'm like going into my injury side of things, when you got injured, did you ever have a time where you couldn't skate, and how did you deal with it? Because that's kind of where I want to go with that, because I know that's what I'm going through myself right now, is finding ways to be okay with not skating and not pushing myself to go skate before I'm ready. I'm just wondering if you've ever had that before.
Yeah, I went to Woodward a couple of years ago, and I was skating the like one of the mini ramps is Woodward East out in Pennsylvania.
Is that when you were with were you guys, was like Jamie and all of them there skating like the mega ramp and stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. Okay, yep, okay.
Yes, so we were out there skating there that time, and I was skating the mini ramp with Jamie and Tom Knox, and I slipped out awkwardly and sat on my leg sideways, and I...
Did you post that?
Yeah, I think I might have posted.
I think I remember that. Yeah, did you like you folded back on it, right?
Yeah, like essentially like my back foot slid off the tail, and then my top half of my body leant backwards onto my leg.
Yeah, so the leg folded out and
exactly,
and so, went in. Yep.
Exactly. Yeah, and so I got up and I was like, I looked at my leg and I was like, fuck, my leg looks like completely twisted. You know, like in my bones look twisted inside, and I was like, oh, I'm fucked, and I like, you know, like I walked and I was like, no, there's something wrong, you know, like my knee and my ankle are both fucked. And so that ankle injury, my knee ended up healing fine. It was all good. Okay. But that ankle injury ended up lasting, like, you know, I still have pain with it now, but I couldn't skate for, it was probably about 10 to 11 months, I'd say. No surgery. I just had it in a cast for.
Okay. Did you break it then, the ankle, or?
I think, I can't remember exactly what I did. I think I tore the ligaments, and I think there was a fracture in there too.
Okay. Yep.
And then, I can't remember exactly what it's called. The little zone in the front of your ankle that gets the hot pocket.
So the, where the talus is. Yeah. So in the front of your ankle. Yeah. It's there's a bone called the talus that kind of underlies. Okay. And sometimes that can be out of position, and it seems to give you that pinching feeling in the front.
Yeah. Is there like a sac in there too? Like a sac of fluid?
There can be from injuries. So like it depends, like if you've rolled your ankles and stuff, that can that can cause fluid buildup at times. So
yeah,
it depends. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, I had like the whatever problem it was with the front bone. And I was out for 10, 11 months. And then that's actually when I started collecting boards.
So that's how it started.
That's exactly what got me into that, and that like kept my mind off it. But now like the board collecting's kind of slowed down a little bit. And now if I'm hurt, it's kind of more just like car related stuff. I've kind of gotten into older BMWs lately. So I'm kind of just,
you were just at an E30 show.
Yeah. Dude. Yeah.
Your car, man. Oh,
thank you.
So I got two kids, a wife. One day I will have one of those when my kids don't need me to drive them around. That's what I want, man. That's
definitely
awesome.
Yeah,
how was that show? I mean, off of the skating topic and stuff real quick. How was that?
That shit was sick. It's it's supposed to be like the biggest E30 meet in the world, I guess, you know.
Looks
and
so huge.
Yeah, there was a lot of cars.
I've never seen that many of them.
For sure. There must have been at least 250, 300 of them. And it was so, I don't know, it's crazy to see that many people who are all that enthusiastic about the same thing in one area, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like not obviously like take skating out of the picture, because obviously that happens all the time. Lots of people area, but I don't know, this is just kind of crazy. It's kind of sick to be around.
Yeah, I bet, dude. That's awesome. It looked like a good time. It looked like it was just really, really cool. And some of the cars, man, like some of the paint that they had, and there's some unique stuff out there. That's pretty cool. I mean, same thing with cars with skating too. It's like you could have the same car, but it could be so different, you know?
I
think that's probably why you gravitate toward cars, dude. Like, I mean,
yeah, for sure. I mean, I was never really into it growing up, but then like, I don't know, Ashod has one of these, and then like, I don't know.
Is that how you got into it?
Yeah. I mean, he took me for a ride in his, like, it must've been like 6 or 7 years ago now. Like it was a long time ago. And it was like, before I moved to America, it was just when I come out here and stayed, and I was just like, oh, cool, this car's sick, you know, like, it's dope.
Yeah.
And then fast forward 5 years, I'm over here looking for a new car, and I'm like, my homie's like, you should get an E30. And I was like, wait, a Shod's E30 was sick. I should get one. That would be dope. So then I ended up getting one, and now I'm like so into it.
That's so cool, dude. That's so cool. So do you do this all the own work, all your own work to it then?
No, I have a homie that helps me out with it. He's a mechanic and has a shop and stuff. I don't really know.
So clutch.
For sure.
So clutch,
like, I don't know.
Mechanic friend.
I don't know what I'm doing, you know. So he's like, he'll help me and then like also like teach me what's going on with it. So
that's awesome. Yeah, that's sweet. So, it's a learning experience.
I'm trying to learn a little bit more about it just so I'm not so like dumb. That's, you know, cool. Like, it's, imagine how nice it would be to like break down on the side of the road and be able to diagnose the problem, you know.
Yeah, and be like, okay, here's what I need to do or get it done.
And it's like, not like, I mean, always growing up, car issues were always so scary, like, if, oh my god, is my car gonna break down, like, am I gonna be stuck? But now,
when
it's like,
when I was
like,
16, right, I remember that, just like that feeling of, dude, not knowing anything about a car and just be like, yeah, I'm out here, but I don't know what to do, like.
it's so scary. But then I guess it comes, that scariness kind of goes away when you kind of have a little bit of money too, and it's not like, all right, well, I'm gonna be spending my last fucking $100 on this tow truck if my car breaks down, you know.
Yeah, because that's a hard spot to be in when you know it's like, okay, well, there goes the rest of my stuff just to move my car. Like,
yeah, for sure. Yeah, definitely. It's like, for sure.
That's I think it's super cool that, you know, obviously you can see your passion runs deep in a lot, everything you do, skating, collecting boards, the car, like, and that's
for sure.
Like, that's probably why I gravitated towards you, because you can just, it's out there. Like, you can see it. At least I can.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, of course, man. I want to play this real quick, actually. It's just funny, because I think actually me and you connected over something like this. You just dropped down the set, right? And I thought,
yeah,
you did something where you did that, but you did like a hippie jump off the stairs, and I thought that was so funny.
Yeah,
we just connected over it. Was that just for that spot specifically? I was just wondering, did you not ollie just because of the fact of wanting to have more time to set up for the other trick, like, so you could just kind of pop off and be set up already?
Yeah, for sure. And it's like, you see the rail going up that goes up next to me. Yeah, it's like, I don't want to ollie and, like, you know, be going super fast and then like end up getting wheel by and falling forward into the rail or anything.
Yeah.
I just want as least impact as possible, so I can go up the ramp with as much speed as possible. And then, so.
We even can see too, right when you land, your foot's already there for a back one pretty much. Like, you just had to scoot that back foot back a little bit, and the front foot back a little bit, and that was it.
Yeah, for sure. No, it's just like, cool, just to make it easier, you know.
Do you do that like a lot, like with some tricks when it comes to, like, I think there's actually another clip I have. Yeah, this one right here where you kind of ride down a little two-stair and then you do this huge, it's a back one or backside flip, if I'm not mistaken. I think it's a big back one, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, yeah.
That's ollie. Oh, you said you did ollie. Okay, that one you did ollie. So
yeah, because that one's actually like a bigger double set.
I was going to say, yeah, it looked a lot. I was going to say when I first, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
God, dude, that one is huge.
Thanks.
That back one is huge. That's so
cool. that one's in Sydney. It's
is it?
I mean, yeah, it's like a famous double set that like all OG skaters used to skate back in the day, you know. And Chima's done a bunch of shit down there, and then
I know I've seen Chima do tricks on it before.
For sure. Yeah, it's like actually like a pretty big double set, but then Lizard King actually ollied to the street, and it was,
is that where you got it from then?
Yeah, for sure. Okay. And he bombed down, like ollied the double set and then did it, you know. And I was like, damn, that's like the perfect way to get speed to skate that to the street. So
yeah, because like, how you'd have to run so fast, throw down and have no pop time.
Yeah, for sure. So it's like you can fully just bomb down that whole marble hill, cut in, and then just like scoop a little ollie down the stairs, and then you're just landing on perfect marble to like take off, you know.
How is the skate spots over there like compared, like, do you compare like the skate spots at all from when you're on Australia to here? Like, is there any similarity? Is it a lot different? I'm just curious. I've just never been over there, seen skate spots too much. So,
see, there's like a difference. I grew up like kind of skating Sydney City, and so the vibe of the city is very different to like where I live here in like Hollywood and like downtown LA and stuff. Yeah. You know, so the city of Sydney is more of a New York style vibe, where you leave your front door, you're skating around the city, you don't get in the car. I mean, you can get in the car and go skate out in the suburbs and stuff like that, which is also always sick. But For the most part, you just skate around the city and skate the plazas, not so much plazas, but the, I don't know, the areas, you know. See, that's like, that's at Martin Place. That's like a really famous spot. Okay. With like the 333 and then the big four block that people used to skate back in the day. It's like, mm-hmm, pretty famous spot. So yeah, I don't know. It's like, that's the only way it's different. Like, I really do miss that about Sydney, you know?
Yeah, so, just having that different feel to it and stuff.
Yeah, for sure. It's like, you know, you just like, see, I didn't live in the city. I would drive into the city, park my car, and then just spend all day in there skating around.
That's how I am right now. So I live in West St. Paul, which is right outside of St. Paul. So
yeah.
And I can literally from my house skate down this big bridge to downtown. Have a great time and then come home. But then I have all these cool little cutty spots up here in my little area that not too many people skate, and I can just go skate and have a good time and not really worry about anything. So
yeah, that's perfect.
It's nice. It's definitely nice having that.
For sure. Yeah. As I moved to America, they actually built a skate park across the street from the house that I grew up at.
Oh, like really?
The one that I moved from to move to America, they built a skate park. And then I was just like, of course that shit happens like the year that I moved.
Yeah, for real. Come on now. So that like would have been crazy.
That would have been fun to have that. Like growing up, I wouldn't have had to have gone into the city as much, but whatever.
I mean, it's probably, I mean, good. Yeah. I mean, everything happens for a reason. You know what I'm saying?
For sure. Better to be skating in the city anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I mean, parks, don't get me wrong, parks are amazing and stuff, but
yeah,
like, when you're just cruising through the city, like, I mean, there's just nothing better. The sound of the sidewalk, I don't know, just everything about it. It's the best. Amazing. It's the best.
Sure.
I want to ask you about these two bag nose blunts.
Yeah.
For two reasons.
Uh-huh.
Both of them are popped high as hell, and I can't tell which one is harder. So I got to know. There's this one on this white hubba that you did, and it looks like it was pretty flipping hard. And then you have this one here, which you have the video with Frankie in.
Yeah.
Which one of those is harder? I just got to know, because both those are huge, man. Those are just huge bag nose blunts.
So the one that was definitely harder was this one, the one on the brick hubba.
Okay.
Yeah, because it's just short, you know, so you don't get much time to slide. And then the ground at the bottom is brick that's completely fucked from the New York winter and summer and all that bullshit.
Oh, and yeah, so, I didn't even really look at that. You can definitely see that. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and so we like rebonded the ground and like refixed it all up and stuff, but it was still so janky. And like you can kind of tell, I think I get caught on some bricks, but managed to get through.
When you're riding away a little bit, it's like whoop. There's a little angle you can see it.
But then the white one is at like a famous spot, you know. It's like it means more to me because it's a spot that people have skated throughout the years, and it's like,
yeah, because I was gonna say that's an iconic spot.
Yeah, for sure. And so I was like stoked on that, but I actually did that one I think 4 or 5 times.
Did you really?
Yeah, because I don't know.
I think it's so cool. I mean, sure, you probably just won. Were you just not happy with the way you landed it? And then probably just something.
Well,
just
wasn't, I mean,
right.
I learned that trick maybe like 5 or 6 years ago, and I was like, that's the one I'm going to do it on. You know, I'm going to do it on UCI Hubba, and that's just how it's going to be.
It was one of those things. It was just like, it's happening. Like, I learned it.
Yeah.
It's going there. Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
But
I like that.
But the spot had been capped for so long. Like, there were skate stoppers on it and all this shit for so long. And then, like, hear random rumors like, oh, UCI Hub is skatable again, someone took the caps off or whatever. And then like 5 years later,
whoever that was,
for real, 5 years later, I was like, all right, like I've heard they're it's unnobbed, we have to go. And like, we'll just do it. And then I don't know, essentially, I mean, I don't know, I guess I did it like somewhat easier than I thought I would, you know. And
you know, I almost can tell you, you want to know why you probably did it easier than you thought? Because you thought about it so much. The visualization of that, you know, like,
yeah,
I've had that before where I've literally dreamt about doing a trick and then I go to the spot and it just happens. And I'm like, all right, cool. There's something there.
Yeah. Like I did that back nose blunt a million times before I'd even done it, you know?
Yeah. Yep. It's and it was like just comfortable. Muscle memory. It's just boom, boom. You just had to take it to that spot now.
And like, I didn't even, it's not like I even like, I never trained or practiced for that trick at that spot. I never like went anywhere and was like, all right, I'm going
to
do this
specific
hubbas
and No,
it
that
was
makes
just
sense.
Like, but yeah, I don't know. It just happened. And then when I did it the first time, I was like, all right, well, I waited 5 years for that. Like,
just
I don't
kept
know.
Going.
If that's,
like, that felt good.
Yeah, for sure. I was like, I don't know if that's the one that I waited 5 years for. So I'm going to do another one and make sure that like I get the right one. And that like when I leave, I'm stoked. You know, I don't want to go home, watch the footage and be like, fuck, it was kind of shit. I need to go back and do it again.
Dude,
so,
this one that they put in here, I love it because it just shows really the realness to the spot, especially from this angle, because the height of it, like you rolling up to it and seeing it compared to you, and then much you slide too, and just the land. Ah, it's just dope. Super sick.
Yeah, I'm stoked on that. I feel like if you can get the above, like the top angle, then you should always try and get it.
Yeah, dude, I agree, because it's like, it just shows just the whole situation of what's going on around you. Because there's times where I've gotten clips and I'm like, damn, that was a lot harder than it looked.
Yeah,
I'm sure everybody's had that.
But, definitely.
No, this one definitely looks hard. I love that you yourself, you know, went and just landed it once. Or like, all right, cool. Because I know, I mean, me myself have done this before. Where I've, like, I thought about a trick, I landed it, I'm like, all right, we can dip out of here.
Yeah.
When, I mean, you yourself have thought about it for so long. It's like, all right, I landed it once. Is it really the one I want? Let's just keep doing it and pull it up five times. That's cool, man.
I'm stoked. Thank you.
That's super sick. So to end today's episode, I mean, I just really want to ask you just a couple questions. So we asked you about the nose blunt. Now I want to know, when you skate, do you listen to music? That's kind of one question. We're gonna add another one in there. And then if you do, what kind of music? And if not, why not?
Okay. So, when I'm actually like during the act of skating, I don't wear earphones or anything like that. Mm-hmm. Just because when I was younger, I was always told, like, going to the skate park and stuff, you'd see people with earphones in and shit, and like they wouldn't be able to hear their surroundings or anything like that, you know. They're just kind of completely oblivious to everyone else that's at the skate park
in their own world.
Yeah. Exactly. And it's like, I was always told that that's a no-go, you know. You need to be aware of the situation. Like, fuck running into a BMX bike at the skate park when you're just rolling on a skateboard. That shit hurts so much. And like, if you can't hear them coming, then like that shit's gonna happen, you know.
They're already hard enough to hear too, because it's like they don't have what we have, you know. It's just really quiet.
Exactly. Yeah. And so, like, I mean, I'm all for someone having like some type of speaker and like, you know, jamming out together. I just feel like I don't necessarily go to the skate park to be in my own little world. Like, I want to like talk to people, or like, you know, like be
That's
with
why
my
I
homies
asked you,
and like.
I think it's interesting because I've had a shift myself now to where you're at, but I actually used to be the other way around more so.
Yeah.
And I think it was just some shit I was going through when I was younger, you know, watched my grandpa die in front of my eyes and stuff. And once that happened, skateboarding was the place I was trying to go to escape from everybody else.
No, for sure.
So it was like one of those things, but I do realize now, like, that I'm out of that stuff. And when I go skate, like, having not even just like the awareness, but being able to just let people know, like, you're one to talk to, like, you're
for sure,
you can talk to me, like, because it's just such a friendly community when it comes to skateboarding. And I feel like once you throw those headphones in, you're kind of, whether you mean to do it or not, you're closing yourself off from, you know, that opportunity at the skate park. And it's
definitely
some great friendships can happen.
definitely. And see, that's the best thing about skating, is that like it really is for everyone and for everyone's own reason, you know. Like, you could want to go out and skate by yourself to get away from everyone. That could be the motivation for skateboarding. And if that's the case, then wear the earphones, get psyched on the music that you're like listening to, and go learn some tricks. But for me personally, I was always just told that that's frowned upon, and I just like just never did it. And like, I used watching skate videos and shit like that to get me excited to want to go and skate, you know, and like do all that sort of thing. So I just took it the other route, you know. But I did listen to music when I was younger, you know, like before I actually knew, or before I was told what I should and shouldn't be doing, I guess. But
do you bump music in the car on the way to a skate session to get hyped?
Yeah, for sure. Like, I'll definitely listen to some shit, you know, and it'll like, it's not necessarily like, okay, I'm putting this song on, I'm gonna go kill myself today. So like, here's a Iron Maiden song or something, you know.
Yeah,
it's
let's
like,
just go.
Yeah, it's like, I'm just gonna listen to music that I get psyched on, something that's like a good beat, and be like, all right, cool. I put myself in a good mode to be like, okay, I'm gonna have a fun skate and like enjoy my time with my friends and stuff, you know.
I think it's funny you said that, because I've had random moments where like an R&B song will come on, and it's just like the most random thing you wouldn't think you'd want to skate, like, or go like listen to before a skate session, but like, you know, you just get in the mood, you're jamming out, and it's like, I think it's really more so that rhythm. Right, you just get hyped on it, you find that rhythm, and then that translates over to your board once you get onto it, because you're already kind of in that mood in your head. So
some
validation there.
One of my guilty pleasures is Glamorous by Fergie. If that song comes on, I'm like, damn, the song's dope. It's like it's got like a dope beat. It's like, I don't know, it's just sick. And like, if that song comes on, it's like, cool, yeah, my vibe's gonna be up, because the song is enjoyable to listen to, you know. So it's kind of like put me in a good spirit.
That's sick, man. That's so sick. So real quick, I had just thought of another question that I want to ask you. So you were saying,
for sure,
watching skate videos and stuff. Now mm-hmm. there's two people here in the skate game, right? You have the people who will watch Hollow Meets and the people who won't. Which one are you?
I won't.
Yep. I can't, dude.
Me either. It's just like, I don't know. Like,
I watch my homie Tanner's because I was actually in Minneapolis when he did it. I just didn't get to see him fall. And we were like at the spot, but he had one. But I will not watch any of them. Like, it's just, other than that one, I'm just, I can't.
See, that's the thing is, like, I don't know how, like, I don't know, weird it might sound or whatever, but like, I'm okay with watching a Hall of Meet if it's a pro skater, someone well-known and someone like that, because in my head, they're a pro skater for a reason, you know?
It's like, you knew this was going to happen eventually.
and they've dealt with a lot of shit, and it's like, okay, so they're like, I don't know, it's weird. Like, do you remember seeing like the Milton Martinez one where he tried to do the kickflip and he broke his ankle?
Yeah.
So like, that's horrifying, you know, seeing that happen to someone is horrifying, but to see that happen to little Johnny from the skate park down the street, as opposed to like Milton Martinez, the dude who goes the fastest in the
jumping
world.
Off a
and,
roof.
Like,
come on now.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like, okay. Like, obviously I don't want to see it, but like, I can handle seeing it. Like Foy's 50-50 where he lands on his head or whatever.
Neck.
And like,
dude.
And it's like, if I'd have seen some random person do that, like, I'd be so upset. But it's Foy, and you know that he's taken some shit like that before. So it's like, he's gonna handle it. Yeah, he's gonna handle it. And like, I just don't know how a random person's gonna handle it, you know?
Yeah, and see, that's why I asked you, because I remember just like growing up at Third Lair, and you'd see people get broke off constantly, because it's just indoor skate park. It's like, people
same
are
shit
going
with
hard.
Me.
Yeah, yep. People going hard, and I remember we'd have like all nighters there, and there was one specific all nighter where two people in a row got broke off, or it was like one dude started seizing out, like, because he hit his head so hard, and I think that was probably the scariest thing I've ever seen, like in skating, when somebody fell, and it happened to one of my friends. Do you know beloved Henry Garland? Love you, dog. But
I like met him a couple times for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
R.I.P.
Yeah. So he's like a little brother to me and stuff. So he, you know, I've seen that happen to him before, and then I've also seen. Dude, the same night that this dude was seizing out, another kid twisted his ankle completely around. And it was just like these. I mean, I was actually younger at the time. They were probably like 13, 14. I think I was probably like 11, 10. But dude, seeing that, like, it's crazy. Because then, like, I was able to, you know, like you said, see it. I never really thought about it that way. Like, it being like, oh, this is a random person at the skate park, and then seeing a whole team being a pro. But it does make more sense now that you say that, because you know, I was fine with, you know, seeing a skate, or even in skate videos, like somebody falling. It was like, that sucks, bro. Oh, good shit, you landed it. You know, like, it's
exactly. Yeah, it's like, see, I grew up in the same sort of situation where we had an indoor skate park, and then I eventually ended up working there for like 5 years. And so, you know, when you're working there, you have to fucking, but it's just like, people get hurt on your watch when you're working.
Yep.
And it's like, you're the person who has to be in there and attend to some shit, you know? And it's like, that then was like, okay, these are like random little kids going and like knocking themselves out, putting their ankles on backwards, and like all this random shit, you know? And it's like, it's like, I don't necessarily like need to see that. I don't want these people on my watch. Like, if something happens and if this problem is dealt with in the wrong way, that's my fault. And like, that's I don't want that, you know? And then so like, if someone gets hurt at the skate park now, it's like, I have the training, or not the training, but like, I have the idea of like what to do, but also the pressure.
Of them. Yeah,
exactly. But the pressure of being like, I'm suing you if you fuck up, is like not there, you know? It's like all you're doing there is like helping them no matter what, you know? But if it's under someone else, like if you're working for someone and then helping someone, it's like, it's so different.
You have a fear of just getting in trouble. Like,
exactly.
Like, you just, even if you're doing nothing wrong, it's just, I mean, dude, I was the same way. So grew up at Third Lair my whole life. Luckily, Emrod, shout out to you. He's the owner. And I got to put my gym in there for a little while. You know,
Gym
was in Third Lair underneath their vert ramp. It was pretty tight.
Oh, dope.
Like,
that's sick.
Yeah, it was a good time. And, you know, I was out there for a while helping out with skate camps, you know, walking kids through like proper warm-ups for how we should warm up for skating and stuff like that. And I felt the same pressure though when I was out there, like as a worker there now, like instead of just going out to the park to skate and like talk to people about what I know. But now I have my gym here, my business is here, you know, all this stuff. It added this totally different aspect to it. So I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, it's a scary situation to deal with when it's someone else's like health and shit like that, you know?
Yeah, it is. But, it definitely is. So on that note, with your health and stuff and all that, do you last question to end it off, do you train at all? Do you exercise at all, like regularly besides skating? And if not, why? Or if you do, what do you do?
So this is something that, you know, you hear everyone when you're younger, it's like, you got to start stretching, man. You got to start doing shit. Cause when you get older, it's going to fucking suck. And then it's like, you know, it's always coming. The inevitable is always coming. Those people are always been right the whole time. You've never disputed that, but you finally click to that age and you're like, oh shit. Like that's what they were talking about. Yeah. And so like now I feel like I'm at that age where if I don't start doing more stuff, like skating might not last as long as I want it to, if that makes sense. So
yeah, no, I preach that all the time. You know, whether you want to be a pro skateboarder and be in the Olympics one day, or you just want to skate with your homies, I'm sure you love skating enough to never want to stop. So the goal should always be longevity. It should always be. I want to be a 75-year-old at the park, shredded up.
For sure. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. That, for real. And it's like, now I'm older and I take more time to foam roll and stuff because I've always had a bad back, you know, I've had sciatica and stuff like that. But just recently went on a Death Wish trip and sat on my wallet in the van the entire time. We did a road trip from here to Texas and back.
Your hips off super bad.
Dude, so bad. And then so couldn't lift my right leg.
So for those who don't know, real quick, not to cut you off, if you carry your wallet in your back pocket, move it before you sit down. Try not to sit on as much as possible. It can throw off your hips and back pain can start to kick up. So go ahead, continue.
For real. I just want to throw that out there. No, I learned that the hard way. Please teach these young children the ways because they need it. I needed it when I was young because, I don't know. Like, I didn't even really think about it. Then got out of the van for the last time, you know, to Texas and back. And so didn't really think much of it. But then I, like, was laying in bed and couldn't lift my right leg. I couldn't do anything. You know, I was in so much pain. And it was from my butt cheek all the way down into my ankle. And I was like, it has to be sciatica. You know, it's the sciatic nerve, whatever. So I went to a chiropractor, and I hate chiropractors. You know, I don't like being cracked up. I don't.
Yeah, you got to go to the right ones. I have a sport. If you're ever out here in Minnesota, let me know. I have an amazing sports chiro who doesn't do that type of stuff. He is A1. I've had other skateboarders go to him, and they're absolutely in love with him. So
yes, yeah,
I'm feel you there though.
For sure. So I was like, all right, I'll just go because like maybe I need to be realigned because of my wallet and everything like that. You know.
Yeah.
And he was like, "Yep, you have a herniated disc in your back, blah blah blah." And I was like, "All right." He's like, you're going to have to come back and see me like another 6 times for us to like really do anything. And I was like, 6 times? Like, and then I'm like, yeah, you probably will help me in the long run. I'm not assuming that you won't, but that's what people do. That's what they do to get you in. And I'm like, I'm not really going to fall for that. So I was like,
I'm not going to like speak on somebody else's stuff or whatever, but you know, that shit just is, I don't know. That's not a good way to get somebody in with you for one. And two, just, that's just goofy to me. Like, that's not the only thing you needed. Like, maybe the session might have helped. Yes. But then, you know, there's other training you can be doing that should have helped more and all this other stuff, mobility drills you could have been doing, you know, why I love the chiro I have. Cause if the person that I send to him already has me, then luckily they have me as the trainer. But if I have a skater who just asks me like, hey, dude, do you have a chiro? And I send him to him, he knows enough. He went through PT school and he went through chiro school. So he understands both sides of the coin. And for that's why, I think it's important to look at it like that. Cause I mean, I'm glad you at least did that for yourself.
For sure. And like, if he'd have came at me at being like, okay, so I have these exercises you can do at home. You do all of this shit. And then I still want to see you and we'll help you out and do the stuff that you won't be able to do at home. We'll do it here. Sweet.
Yeah. And hopefully by this date, you'll be good, but it's always indefinite. Like, oh, this many sessions. Oh, when do you think I'll be good? Oh, you know, let's get this many more sessions in.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, you know, it's 70, 80 bucks every time. And I'm like, okay, well, what can I do at home that's going to like help the situation? So I was like,
what are you giving me other than this hour of time here? Like, yeah, and I'm like 15 to 30 minutes. Like,
yeah. And you know, he like massaged me. He like put me in this like weird contraption where my legs were tied up and it kind of like pulled my spine, you know, to like straighten me out and all that sort of thing. So, and then he used like a Theragun and then all this other type of shit. And I was like, well, I mean, most of the other shit I could do at home, I bought a foam roller and then I started using that. And then a week after using it, the back pain's completely gone.
Yeah.
And I was just like, all right, well,
all right.
Yeah. I don't know. So,
That's cool that you were intuitive enough to figure that out on your own, though. I'm happy you were, because, I mean, some people just fall into the trap of it, and it happens to a lot of people.
For sure. I just think I'm I'm surrounded by smart enough people to take notes on what they do, you know, with, between like Neen and Shane Hale and stuff. Like they all take such good care of themselves.
Hopefully someday, if you could hook me up, man, tell him I want to talk to him. I'd love to get him on here.
I'll see what I can do for sure.
That'd be amazing because he's somebody it'd be
a good conversation.
Yeah, I have so much respect for him just from addiction, all the stuff he dealt with to where he's at now. You know, it's crazy. So I love that you have those people around because I just hope doing conversations like this, showing people, you know, like, hey, you can do a little bit more for your body, take a little bit more care of yourself, and it goes a long way. The little stuff you can do can go a long way for skateboarding.
For sure.
And
see that. For sure. See, I'm like definitely a culprit of not taking care of myself, like not eating healthy, not stretching, not doing all the things, you know.
I think
but
that's the majority, not even of just skateboarders though, man. I mean, that's just for sure. The average American nowadays. Like, it's
yeah, for sure.
It is.
But after having the like problems with my back, you know, I've had an original problem with my back for the last, like, I don't know, it's been like 10, 12 years or something. But the new one with that, going on that trip with the, like, and then using the foam roller and stuff is all new. But it's like, that just shows to me there where it's like, okay, cool. Like, that can help a lot. So that's a good step in the right direction, you know. So I don't know. See where it goes.
Yeah, no, that's awesome, man. I love that we could end it on that for people. Like, hey, listen to your body, you know.
For sure.
Hopefully you have a good crew around you. Mm-hmm. And if not, there's always people like me and Jake here to steer you in the right directions.
For sure.
Jake,
yeah,
I'm
still learning. Definitely still learning, for sure. I got a lot to learn.
Hey, it's that's life though. I mean, we're gonna continue to be learning. We should strive at least to do that, right?
For sure.
All right, everybody. Jake, do you have anything you wanna say to leave it off with them today?
I appreciate you having me definitely on your birthday too. That's
hey, you topped it off for me. Topped it off for me, man.
I'm glad we could have a good conversation, and I'm stoked that we actually got to do it.
Yes, thank you. And real quick, before I stop the recording, just let people know, where can they find you on socials and stuff, and what do you do most?
I'm on Instagram most, and my handle is just at Jake Hayes, just my name. Mm-hmm.
I'll have it on the screen for him and stuff too.
Okay, sweet. I'm on TikTok too, but I don't know, probably not really as important, but it's, I think, Jake Hayes __ or something like that.
Okay, but I'll figure it out too, and I'll make sure it's all in the show notes.
For sure. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Yeah, of course, man. Well, everybody, I hope you enjoyed today's episode with Jake Hayes.
Hell yeah. Thank you for having me.
Of course.